Many people turn to religion only to alleviate their conscience by confessing their sins. Religions have successfully used the idea for centuries in order to attract people and keep them coming to temples and churches. But for this purpose, they like to spread the idea that you have definitely done something wrong that you have to confess. I've noticed this idea and attitude in various religions, and many religions believers really think that they always have some kind of sin to confess. Religions have promoted this idea. There is something that you did. We all remember that. In the last 24 hours, you must have done something wrong. You must surely have committed one of many sins that God would punish you for if you did not confess them. Even if you don't know about any sin that you could have committed, there's an answer. You must have done something unconsciously, right? Even if you lived carefully, you've unconsciously insulted God, hurt someone, had an impure thought, or something equally wrong. So if you go to the priest or the rabbi or the minister, he will give you a task for penance, even if you don't know what you did wrong. And I have to go back to it. I was in third grade, I do believe, and I actually had this experience. And as a child, I was extremely shy and quiet and really didn't do too much of anything, certainly nothing wrong. And so I remember sitting in church one day growing up as a Catholic and having to figure out what I was going to confess to the priest. And so literally, I made something up, okay? And how funny is that? And I went in there and I said to him, I guess I just haven't tried hard enough in whatever. And he said, well, you know, that's a sin. You must try harder. Now go repent by saying 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers and do that no more. And so really think about that for a moment. Does that really make any sense? So you see what religion made you do in the effort to get you out of your sins. It made you lie about them. Wouldn't it? Does that really make sense at all? There are spiritual truths such as love, faith, hope, peace. All of these things are at the core of most of these religions. Unfortunately, it's difficult to connect to these beliefs due to the fear that we've been built up and due to this dogma that, you know, we're sinners and understanding that and trying to get past that. So I want to welcome you in today to Affirmations for Living. Of course, I'm your host, Reverend Advaiz, and today we'll be discussing religion and how it has programmed us to believe ourselves less than worthy of God's love, that it's something that we have to earn. My guest, and she's been on once or twice before, her name is Victoria M. Reynolds, and with her, we will uncover these false beliefs of fear and move into a space of true love. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. Again, that is 323-203-0815. And I really invite you to call in today because I know we all have our stories of religion and this doctrine as it is and how it has really manipulated us and, you know, given us things to overcome more so than anything. To fully embrace love, we must understand love. And so we will also be describing in detail the four different types of love that there are. I know in previous episodes I've spoken about that we really don't even understand what love is. And so today we're going to go over those four different types of love. And this is how we move out of that place of fear. All forms of love are pure and unconditional, okay? And that's the one thing they certainly all have in common. This is how love is. It cannot be otherwise. Any conditions placed upon it are man-made, ego-based, and are not of the quality of love itself. And so today we're going to go over those four different types of loves. And just to give you an idea of their names, it would be Eros or erotic love. That kind of stands out there. Storge love, philia or philia love, and then agape love. So we're going to discuss those in detail when Victoria comes on. But just a couple of reminders first. You know that I have a website out there, affirmationsforliving.net. I invite you all to go to that. There are some exciting things on it. I have a wonderful guided meditation that's now available. And within it are the 9 ancient solfeggio tones. So they're designed to uplift, to awaken, and to balance you. So I would invite you to go on and get that. I also have an affirmations club, and you can sign on to that. You'll receive 8 affirmations per month. And you do these affirmations daily. They help to really concrete and put into you the idea of the changes that you want to make. So as you're doing the work to release and let go, we have to fill in those spaces with a new. And so it's a wonderful tool to do that. Also, I offer one-on-one spiritual life coaching, and there's a telephone number you can call and reach me and schedule an appointment to do that. We can do that over Skype, over the telephone. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world, I'm available to do all of that. So I just wanted to remind you of those things before I bring her on. And of course, you can always find me on Facebook, Affirmations for Living, or my personal Facebook, Edvige Bang. So very cool. Again, don't forget to call in. It's going to be a good show. So let's bring her on now. Hello again, everyone. We are back, and live with me is Victoria M. Reynolds. Say hello, Victoria.
Hello.
And so,
great to be back on your show again.
Thank you. I know this is the third time, and it's wonderful because each time we have so much more information to share. And I know the last time we alluded to religion and how the false doctrine and dogma has caused us to be in this place of fear and limitation and, you know, really not allowing us to expand and to be our true authentic selves, which is love. And then earlier I described that there are four different types of love and that we're going to go into those a little bit today. And so welcome. And, you know, right out the gate, let's get started because this hour always seems to go by so quickly. So I was looking at your website and it really describes religion and how it is designed to control. So if you would go into that, let's get going.
Okay. You know, it really is. Oh, really, most of it's fear-based. And what has happened is that it's fear that's been disguised as love.
Mm-hmm.
So for most of it, specifically with Christianity, I know Christianity more so than the other religions.
Okay.
That we're taught to believe in a God who is basically a bully. And really, these are fear-based beliefs. I call them fear-based beliefs because a lot of people don't recognize that fear is so much more than we think it is. When we think of fear, we think of being afraid to do something or that adrenaline rush that we get when mm-hmm. we are afraid something's going to happen to us. Well, we have our fear-based energies. So we have love-based energies and fear-based energies. And the love-based energies are love, hope, gratitude, beauty, all these things that make us feel really
good. Good, yes.
Yeah, and fear-based energies are these energies that make us feel yucky. Fear, shame, guilt, doubt, worry, resentment, those are all fear-based energies.
And that all sounds like stuff that's in religion. I mean, quite honestly, that's almost the definition of religion would be those things you just said. That's scary.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's why I say that our religions are actually teaching fear, mm-hmm. and they're being disguised as love. So, for example, we're being told that God is this loving God, but in order for us to access God, we have so much guilt and so much shame built into that, love is nearly inaccessible.
You know, I was telling a story about me being in third grade. I was in third grade and had to confess my sins because I went to Catholic schools, and I shared this story before you came on. And I sat there. I was a quiet, introverted little girl, okay? So I barely did anything, much less anything wrong. And it's so interesting as I'm sitting there in church getting ready to confess my sins, and I'm thinking, well, okay, well, I really didn't do anything bad, but let me make something up because that's what they're expecting to hear. And so literally I went in there and I told a lie and I said, well, I guess I really just haven't tried hard enough and all the things that I could. And this priest told me that, you know, that was a sin and that I needed to work harder at being, you know, doing more and to go repent and to say my 10 Hail Marys and Our Father and to really work on improving myself. You know, talk about guilt and making one, a child, a nine-year-old feel bad about themselves. How is that a loving religion? How on earth can that mm-hmm. be nurturing? That's not nurturing.
No, and it causes this sense of separation that we have to earn the right to God. We have to earn yeah. the right to love. We have to mm-hmm. earn the right to appreciation. We have to earn the right to heaven. And that's all fear.
Yeah.
And it creates this sense of separation from what we already are, which is love. And this God that's supposedly an unconditionally loving God comes with this big, long list of conditions.
And how, yeah, and think about that, because we always talk about, and we're going to get into agape love and describe the different loves. Well, that's unconditional love, you know, and so that means I love you exactly how you are. If you perceive to have faults, I love you just as you are, because you are in the perfect image of God. So then how could God then place conditions upon us? It really doesn't make any sense. You know, not at all, actually.
It doesn't make any sense. So we are walking around on this planet with a false concept of what unconditional love is, because the only unconditional love we have actually seen is conditional.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's interesting is that we've been told to love each other as we love ourselves.
Yes.
Specifically in Christianity. The issue is that we have so many fear-based beliefs and so much guilt and so much self-resentment. We don't love ourselves.
We don't know how
and
to.
We don't know how to love ourselves. So how can we possibly love other people? So we do. We love other people the way we love ourselves. We have all this shame and all this guilt and all this self-resentment that we're carrying around with us, and that is what we're projecting onto other people. So we do love other people the way we love ourselves.
We don't love ourselves. And, you know, it's so funny because I'll listen to people in relationships and, you know, or a single, because we all know this, and we were all single, you know, when we were single. We have this list. I'm looking for this mate, and he needs to be this, this, and this, and he needs to make this kind of money, and he needs to have this type of job, and he needs to drive this type of car. Well, where is the love in that? You know, and if you're setting yourself up with all these conditions, then you really can't actually love the person as the person is, and allowing that to unfold. Is it any wonder that you ladies out there that are single, that you're probably still single, because that's not real love. That's conditional, and that's just loving these things, and that's not real, true love. So,
well, no, and see, and that's coming from a space of emptiness. It's coming from a space of not having real love for yourself. And so we're looking for other people
to fill it,
fill that missing void that's inside of us. When in reality, there is no void. It's just we have come to believe that there is.
Well, and also it reminds me that then we're also living and choosing in that place of fear, because mm-hmm. I can't make it on my own. I don't have enough. So I need to find someone who can provide for me, or who can do this for me and do that for me. Whereas it's within you. The God is within you. So you are co-creator of your existence and of your experience. And we are to be balanced. I love that, right? We're supposed to have the balance of the divine masculine and feminine within us, meaning that we can be, do, and have all that we desire. It's already within us. So that person that we're seeking, that's not their job.
Right, right. But most of us are going through life in feelings of fear and scarcity.
Yeah.
That we don't have enough, and we can't possibly enough, and so we need someone else to make us be enough.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's part of those fear-based beliefs that we've been sold on, you know? And so few people know what love really is. One of the things that's interesting, I had someone say to me a few weeks ago that, you know, we need to teach people to not love themselves so much. You know, these people that go around bragging about themselves. And I said, you know, that's really not love. If you have to brag about yourself and you have to make other people feel like less than, that is not love.
No, not at all.
That's fear. That's ego, and it's fear. It's not real love. People
it's
who have
love.
Genuine love for themselves don't feel the need to puff themselves up. You just feel completely whole.
Because
you
have... Yeah, because there's compassion then for others. And so you would never be boastful and intend to hurt someone's feelings, because that's just not a loving attitude. You know what? Let's go over the different types of love, because I think this is a good place to actually describe the different levels, the names for them, so that the audience can get a really clear idea as to what types of love there are and how they work, you know, and then we'll bring it back, because maybe that's where we need to go. And so the first one. is eros or erotic love. And the definition of that, it's a physical passion, gratification, and fulfillment. It's inferred in many scriptures as the love between one man and one woman. Erotic love, correctly, is what we may call romantic passionate love. And this seeks fulfillment and satisfaction. Yet it is a lot more than that. It is the life force that leads us forward. It is the bridge between us and the divine. It is the driving force that, when used properly, it is in its purest essence and with integrity, is what leads us to the truth, elevates the soul, and takes us back home. So that's the first type of love. Boy, and we're in so many relationships, and I don't think half of us can really fully express that type of love, even in a one woman, one man, or one-on-one type of relationship, you know?
No, and I think that has a lot of guilt that comes with it.
Yeah.
It is such a high vibration of love, it's really hard to sustain it because it is pretty out of this world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Interesting one. The next one is...
It's an interesting perspective that just came to me, yes.
Yeah. And it's hard because, you know what, there are challenges in relationships. Whether you've been in one for a year, if you've been in one for 50 years. And, you know, I've seen both. My brother has been married 30-some years. I just was visiting him in Hawaii. Hello, brother. I was just visiting him in Hawaii, and he and his wife have been married over 30 years. And you can see the dynamics of their relationship. And it's so easy to take someone for granted, you know, and you're not doing it intentionally. You just get so stuck. And this type of love, we really have to put energy into it and to keep it not necessarily fresh, but to keep. And the one thing I did notice that they still have such love for each other, even though they will bicker and do all their little things. The actual pure love that they have for each other, that they want to see each other happy, is alive and well. And that was wonderful to see, especially after all of those years. And so, you know, the nurturing. And it was really interesting to see because one would boost the other up. You know, my brother would make dinner and my sister-in-law would say, wow, what a wonderful meal. Thank you for having this meal ready for me when I get home. And I'm like, wow, after 30 years, they're still saying that? That's pretty awesome. And that's what we have to remember. We just can't take another person for granted and not take the time to say, thank you. I recognize what you're doing for me and I appreciate you. That's important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got that from observing for the last 9 days. It was pretty cool, actually.
Oh, that is so great.
Yeah, it really was.
So this erotic love needs to be cultivated.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens with a lot of relationships is that after a few years, after you have the kids, it's much harder to cultivate that relationship to cultivate the erotic love, the eros, because it needs attention.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so in order to keep that flame, that flicker going in a relationship, it does need to be cultivated on a regular basis.
You know, and another part of that, too, is, you know, you got married and you were in a – so say 10 years ago you get married and you're in a place where you're growing and expanding. We can't – and relationships tend to go like this. You know, you used to be like this and you used to do that and you used to do that. You're not doing those things anymore. But hear this clearly as I say this. You know, we are here to expand. And so it's wonderful that you loved me when I was doing those things. But you must love me as I evolve and as I expand. And you must love me as I move forward and as you move forward. And so it's the growth that you still have to love and find appreciation for. Because we're not standing still. Change is inevitable. And we have to love that person where they are in that moment as they move forward. And so we can't always look back. We have to look forward, and we have to love that person in their growth. And that's really important because people get stuck in those things. You know, oh, you used to do this to court me, to get me. Now that you have me, you don't do that anymore. But what am I doing for you so that you can love and appreciate me where I am right now? Important to remember.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it does. I mean, it's really easy to look back and say, well, you're not the person that you used to be. But none of us are the same person that we used to be. And flexibility plays a huge role in maintaining relationships.
Absolutely, yeah. And hopefully where you're moving to is a good thing, right? Hopefully where you're moving to is good. You're expanding, you're growing, you're really finding yourself and sowing, you know. So, I mean, it's not a bad thing. Now, the next one is called storge love, meaning affection. And it is any kind of affectionate love. It can be between parents and child, between friends. It can be between teacher and student. So you can see where that's a different type of love than the eros, mm-hmm. erotic love. Definitely, it's a friendship. It's a kinship. And that's an easy one to recognize. But again, we need to do that unconditionally, you know, and I think that's the one thing that you would find in all of these. It's about unconditional. And so if I'm truly your friend, then I'm not going to place conditions on you. You know, I was having a conversation earlier with my friend Karen. I'll say your first name and not your last, Karen. And we were talking about the energies that are coming in on the 21st. And I said to her, you know, for you, I wish so and so success in the different things that she's doing. And she stopped me and said, wow, you're the first person who I've shared these things with who's actually listened and been able to express them back to me like that. And that's friendship, folks. We actually care about that person, and we want them to have the success that they desire for themselves, because there is enough to go around for all of us. And so we find delight in our successes, but also in our friends' successes. And so that's a true friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and there's no competition at all. It's
no.
Just... we love our friend. We want them to be just as successful as we want ourselves to be successful.
Exactly.
And we're there to support each other in all of the ups and downs, regardless, like you were saying, again, that's an unconditional form of love.
Mm-hmm. But religion keeps getting in and, you know, setting us up to so much believe in the lack and the limitation. It's just so mm-hmm. odd how that works. But we'll get into that. We have two more to go. So then the next one is filio or philia love, meaning it's a friendship. It's a love between friends. In ancient times, philia was the word used for love, which actually means love was considered to be a sacred friendship. And it's a term actually used for the kind of friendship even between, once again, teacher and student, but it's a more sacred level of love. So I guess it's more like an honoring type of love, you know, where you have the elders and that kind of thing. So an interesting different type of love. And then finally, we have agape love. Agape love, obviously, is the God kind of love, right? It's seeking the welfare and betterment of another, regardless of how we feel. It's not based on feelings of affection. This act of agape love is so very strong. Even in the Bible, it states we can agape our enemies regardless of how we feel. So it's for the betterment of mankind. It's spiritual love. We must choose to seek the betterment and the welfare of others regardless of our feelings for them. And boy, that's not the easiest of things to do, especially if we still watch the news and we still want to see the differences instead of coming together. And so how do you mm-hmm. wish betterment for someone who you think has done you wrong? That's agape love.
mm-hmm. Well, agape love is a state of being as opposed to feeling. And so that's what the difference is. Agape love is actually this energy that is, essentially, it's the essence that we're all made out of. Okay. Which is really hard to explain. Once you have felt that love, mm-hmm. you understand it. And it doesn't matter who the person is or what the person's done. Now, I have to tell you, I've had this experience. You know, I'm from this polygamous background. And I look at Warren Jeffs, who is currently in prison right now for marrying two 12-year-old girls. Mm. And I've had to look at him and say, how can I possibly see this man through the eyes of love?
Of love, yes.
Because I know that source, God, whatever we want to call it, sees everything through the eyes of unconditional love. And I know that it's possible. How can I see this man with love and compassion? And I have learned how to do that because I understand that he's here having a journey just as I am and just as we all are. And he's making the best that he can with his journey and the lessons that he came here to learn.
Thank you. And that's so important. And you know the statement you said, a state of being. So it's not about doing in this agape love. It's about you hold the space of love. You are the light. You are the love. And so if you are love, then you can only be that for everything you see, because you see it without judgment. You don't place conditions on anything, and you just hold that space. And that's what we're really striving towards. And in that space, we can release, we can transmute, we can let go of all those things that no longer serve those lower aspects of ourself. This is truly moving into our divine sacred self. It's becoming the Christed beings that we're here to become. And so I would offer to you that if this ascension process is really important to you, as I would hope it is, this is the type of love that you must embrace. It is being the state of love, no longer looking with judgment and criticisms, but allowing. That's that universal law, the law of allowing. You have your path. You have your road to walk. You have your lessons to learn. I'm not seeing the full picture. And so I'm seeing one small aspect of it. You did this particular thing that, okay, possibly was heinous. Guess what? It's something that you had to live out for your karma. And so I cannot place a judgment on you and in that say, well, you know, you're a bad person. I don't like you. I don't love you, because that's not where we're moving towards. And so it's a difficult one, but it's the place we have to get to raise our vibration and to really to embrace the idea of that type of love.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
Not easy, certainly not easy. And it's so interesting because, you know, depending on what we're here to experience, the lessons that we have to learn, there might be things in our life that are extremely difficult to get through. Actually, in one of my classes, I had a lady share something with me that I'll share with the audience. She going through a divorce, and she said her husband was just so mean to her and had so many issues. And I said, wow. And I stopped for a moment, and literally we both started to cry. I said, just imagine that on the other side, when you were sitting there writing this all out before you came into this time space reality, he loves you that much, right? He loves you that much that he would come forth as the person that you would despise in the physical, that would force you to awaken, that would force you to release issues and to be accountable and to address things that no longer serve you and to make you stand up in your divine light, right, and gain your sovereignty as a divine being. He loved you that much that he agreed to come forth and do that for you. Wow. Do we see? We don't see the whole picture. We see the heinous act or them being mean, and we want to place a judgment on that. See the whole picture. And when she could see the whole picture, it was such a relief and a release for her that, yeah, I'm able to love through that. And that's just so beneficial. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And see, and that's how the creator, God, whatever we want to call this creative energy, that is how the creator sees everything, through that kind of love. Mm. There is no judgment. And we've built this entire fear-based system to keep us from understanding what unconditional love really is.
Well,
and it really is free of judgment.
Exactly. Let's dig into religion a little bit, because, you know, religion is interesting. In the beginning, when Jesus was walking on earth some 2,000 more years ago, he was teaching that the least among us could do these things, and he was trying to show a way of being the Christ itself. And think about that. What does being the Christ itself mean? Well, think about when you make a mistake. You feel embarrassed, you feel shameful, you feel doubtful, all those things actually we could say would be sin. And it's an archery term meaning to miss the mark. I know I've said that before. And now listen and think about when you think of a newborn baby, the innocence, the purity, the joy, right? They are naive. They're just innocent. All of these beautiful little words come to mind. That's being the Christed being that we're here to be. And that's what he came forth to teach. And when he first died, they got that. And that's what they were, you know, sharing with everyone. But after a while, because we know that religion changes every 500 or so years, and so then all of these things started to set in, and we won't even get into all of the dark side of it, the infiltration mm-hmm. of the not so nice ETs that came in and did all the false seeding. But all of these things started to happen, and then they changed the way the things that Jesus was sharing to more of, you know, you must do this, you must do that, you must do that. And it became much more of a doctrine and much more of a dogma. And they found that that was a way to control the masses. And that's where it's moved. And, you know, I would hope that people would see, even when you go into the Bible and you read the Bible, that everything Jesus said, right? Didn't he say to question all things? And so mm-hmm. even that, if it does not come from love, if it doesn't raise your vibration, then it is not the truth. And we have to see that and accept that in everything that we look at and in everything that we allow ourselves to be exposed to. If it is not raising your vibration, then it is not of the light. And if it's about being dark, even if it's in the Bible, and I'm going to go there, if it's about dark, if it's about vengeance, and it's about all of these things, and those things are not of the light. God is only a loving energy. That's it. And if it's not of the light, it is not of God. And we have to really begin to accept and wake up to the truth of who we are. Victoria, would you like to add?
I'm just listening.
Now that, yeah, now that I just dug that big hole.
No, you're a minister. I can just see you up on stage doing your thing.
So. Well, and I am an ordained minister. So. Okay, you went there.
Yeah, you know what? And Jesus did teach that. He really rebuked a lot of what was taught in the Old Testament. Correct. He had real issues with the law of Moses. He saw how hurtful the law of Moses was and how much pain humans had caused each other with these very hurtful laws. And so I don't like to use the word against, because I don't think he had against us, but he told the truth about how hurtful a lot of the teachings were in the Old Testament. And that's the reason he was murdered. I mean, he was basically hunted down and murdered because the religion of his day did not appreciate what he was teaching.
Exactly, because he was teaching.
I would say he was a new age teacher of his day.
Exactly. Yeah. He was.
And so what he was teaching was spiritual truths, and he was speaking out about how hurtful the religious dogma was of the day. And people who followed him got that.
Yes.
They got that he was teaching spiritual freedom, to free themselves from these fear-based beliefs that the religion of his day was teaching. Mm-hmm. And so what he was teaching was unconditional love. And then eventually what happened, of course, is that it became, through various situations, it became morphed into a religion, the very thing that he spoke out against.
And that's the thing. The very thing he spoke out against is what these religions, unfortunately, are doing a lot of today. But we know that we're moving from that. We really are beginning to awaken to our own spirituality and to recognize that the answers are within. You know, the human condition is we like to seek outside for the answers, right? Can I go to this psychic? Can I go to this? And can you just tell me what I need to do? Instead of accepting responsibility for where you are, going within and connecting to source directly yourself. You don't have to go to a middleman. God mm-hmm. is within. We have to get quiet and connect to the source that's within, and then the guidance will come. But we're so programmed to believe that all the answers are on the outside, and we want to mm-hmm. get quick. Don't we want to get quick fixed? You know, it's like, do you have a 20-minute session that I can do, and when I'm done, I'm going to be cured of all ills? Because I want that program. You know, guess what? It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, right now we don't have the technology to go in and rewrite all of your beliefs for you. So
I really wish I did, okay?
Maybe that will happen down the road. Right now we don't have that kind of technology.
No, not so much. But that's what...
And that's what happens with religions. So yeah. Religions created this separation from the truth that's within us. Mm-hmm. And created a middleman scenario so that we're under the assumption, under the belief that we have to go through this middleman to get to God. Yeah. And through this middleman to get to love and to get to truth, and it's all already who we are. It's the essence of who we are, and all of the truth and everything we could possibly want to know is already a part of us because we have a direct connection to Source. It's only when we're taught that we don't, that we have to pay penance, let's use that one, to a religion, or we have to go through a middleman, or we have to talk to our bishop, or we have to talk to our priest in order to access God. So yeah. We've been going through life with this assumption that we're separate from God.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so very interesting because now as we approach the holidays, okay, let's even talk about that. Because all of these traditions, where are these traditions? Where do they even come from? You know, and it's so very interesting because whether you being in the metaphysical world, I look at a lot of different religions. I look at a lot of different things. And from the shamans to the Catholics to the Yoruba of Africa, everyone has these traditions. And your traditions are okay, but these traditions do not give you the upper hand in connecting to God, you know. And to say that you have this saint and this entity and this, it's like I don't have to pray to any of them. I don't have to ask any of them for anything because, again, I do not need a middleman. I'm directly connected to Source energy. God hears me. When I get into the flow and the energy of the will of the I Am presence, all is well. And so it's so interesting to me, you know, on the internet and all of these places, you find all of these different groups trying to separate themselves and trying to purport that they have the answers to all of these things. The answers are already within you. I don't need to burn this candle to this saint, and I don't need to do the novena to this saint, and I don't need to do all of those things. You need to wake up and look within. And mm-hmm. if within is not of peace and not of love, then you're certainly not going to find it on the outside. So until you can accept yourself, until you can love yourself, right, in that state of being, then all of the praying to all of the angels, to all of the whomever, isn't going to matter.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no, and the way to find that love inside is really difficult to access. It's difficult to access because we have so many fear-based beliefs that surround it. So for me, I describe that in the core of every one of us is a light. Mm-hmm. It's a light source, a power source. It's our connection to the infinite, to the divine. And Jesus even talked about this when he said, don't place a bushel over your light. And so what's happened is that we have this light that's inside of us, and we keep encasing it in layers and layers and layers and layers of fear. In order to access that light, which is that love that's inside of us, we have to start peeling away all of these layers of fear-based beliefs. And as we start to look at our beliefs and peel them away, that light that's inside of us gets bigger and bolder and more powerful. And we actually are, you know, as Jesus said, I am love, I am light, I am the way. That's what he was trying to explain to people, is that we actually are Source in physical form.
In physical form. And so you have to ask yourself, what can you do to feel more loving? What can you do to feel more light? And that might not be a religious-based thing. It might be simply going for a walk or doing something that brings you joy, makes you feel more loving towards yourself. And so we really have to look at all of these, the doctrines of whatever it is, and all of these dogmas that are really so designed to move you away from. And you may think that it's making you closer, but if you have to go do something towards some energy other than God, I'm here to say, in my opinion, and I'll say that, in my opinion, that's not moving you closer. That's actually moving you away from. And so, you know, we have to really find that state of being within ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's so very important, and it's such a fine line because there's fear if I don't do this, then this thing's going to happen to me. And, you know, I'll even go to psychics because people love going to psychics, and it's so funny. They'll say, well, you know, I've never been wrong before, and I see this happening to you. And then you'll go and actually believe this. And guess what? It doesn't come to pass. It's like, oh, what happened? I thought they were accurate, and they got it right every time. Understand that the information that's coming to them, it only can come to their level of vibrating. And so that might be a difficult concept, but discern, 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 especially in these times when we're moving towards this Mayan calendar and everyone thinks they have all the answers to all that is. It's so much more about getting into your heart space, seeing yourself as you wish yourself to be. You are the co-creator, and the energies that are coming in are the energies to empower you into your divine true self, your authentic self. And so it's about going within and seeing that picture of who you are, visualizing the new you, because you are the creator of that, and don't allow all that outside stuff to mess with that.
Well, so here's part of it. When it feels, I explained it in my book, of course, but when you know who you are, is this feeling of coming home. Mm. That seemed to be the easiest way for me to explain it. It was, oh, I remember who I am. Mm-hmm. That remembering, and there's nothing but love there. There's no resistance. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's nothing. It's just almost a remembering of who you are and why you're here. And it's not a frightening place to be. Exactly. When we find that. One of the other things I was going to mention about the psychics is remembering when we go outside to seek the advice from other people, as you were saying, the information comes through where they are. So if you look at fear-based energies and love-based energies, if they are in fear themselves, then that's where the message is going to come through their fear-based energy. So the vibration of the message that they get is going to be based on where they are for themselves. So if they're in the space of unconditional love, then the message that comes through for you, it's going to be based in that unconditional love. It's a much higher, clearer vibration and a much clearer message that they get.
And
so,
you know,
that's why you can go to a psychic and get completely different stuff, because it depends on where they are in their own journey.
Exactly. And that's something to really take to heart, because, you know, I know people who will go to psychics before they do anything. And you have to really, really discern that, because think about it. They may be having an off day, and then you're going to actually take this information as God's truth, and it's not. So we really have to seek to find answers within ourselves and begin to trust that that still small voice that's within you is coming through. And if that still small voice isn't coming through clearly, then you need to do the work so that it can, because it's always available to you. Whether it's through your feelings, your intuition, you might hear a word, or you might ask a question and then turn the TV or the radio on, and guess what? The next few words are the answers to what you've just asked. And so you really have to become aware so that that guidance for you can come through to you, so that you're not so preoccupied with going on the outside and trying to find it, because we have within us the ability to
Well, you know? I think that's, and that's a big part of it, is that we have not been taught how to trust ourselves. So much of what we have been taught, of course, my subject matter is religion, is to look outside of ourselves for everything. So we don't understand self-trust, self-reliance, self-honor, self-respect, and self-compassion, self-forgiveness. And all of this, everything that we seek in the way of true joy, true happiness, true bliss, true success, has to happen within ourselves. It has to be a self-improvement project. I mean, so many people are looking outside of themselves for the answers, and it all has to start within the self.
Absolutely.
And learning how, and self-worth is a huge one. Most of us have known nothing about self-worth, or very little, because we've been told that we're not worthy from the time we're very small. And that affects our ability to trust ourselves as well.
Exactly.
So,
you know, so then the first,
and that's again, those are all love-based energies.
Yeah. So how do we then, we don't love ourselves and we don't find ourselves worthy. What's the very first thing we need to do? Because right where we are right now, let's all stop. Do we love ourselves enough? How do we fill up that love gauge? Any ideas?
You know what? For me, the first thing I had to do was gratitude. I tell everybody, begin with gratitude. No matter where you are in your life, begin with gratitude, because gratitude actually is the gateway. It opens up a portal into the loving energies. It's like opening opening a window. You step through all the fear-based energies into the love-based energies with gratitude.
Absolutely.
That's the window.
It is.
And once we can figure out how to be grateful for where we are currently and look back at our past experiences through the eyes of gratitude, the entire universe opens up its gifts to us.
And you know what makes sense about that? Think about it for a minute. So I don't believe myself to be worthy, right? Because I'm not getting my stuff. But as soon as I stop and change the perspective of that and I say, wow, I am grateful. I have this and I have this. And as you give thanks for all those small things and daily find things to give thanks for, then they build and become more. And as that builds and becomes more, then guess what? Your self-worth goes up. And so that's how they are interrelated. As I give thanks, you know, I'm asking for prosperity. I find that penny on the street. I pick it up. Wow. Thank you. More, please. Now, the next time it becomes more. Wow, I'm actually now becoming a co-creator. I understand how this works, right? My job, I might not love the job. It might not be the perfect job, but if I give thanks for it and I'm doing it well and now I'm finding self-worth in what I'm doing, guess what? Someone sees you, you're full of love and light, and they offer you the next best job that you know, that you would find more joy, and then you give thanks for that, and then you begin to move up that plateau if that's what you choose to do. And so it really is about finding thanks and gratitude in each little thing, and as you build upon that, your self-worth, your joy builds, and then you're really becoming that co-creator, and that's where, and that's how you make it move. So
yeah, so that you're co-creating a completely new reality. I mean, we're always in co-creation. We're co-creating our yucky experience just as much by our thoughts and by our emotions and by our feelings. So we co-create our realities.
Correct.
And people don't understand that. I mean, this is another one of the religion things where we're told to give all of the glory to God, all of it, or when something goes wrong, we blame God for the reason that things go wrong in our life. Oh, we don't recognize the role that we play. We are co-creators. We're not pawns in someone else's game.
Correct.
That's the things I was raised with, that I was basically a pawn in God's game. And I hated my life because I felt like I had no control over it. Now that I understand how co-creation works and that I'm the creator of my life and I'm co-creating at every moment with Source, I'm co-creating with you on the telephone right now. I'm co-creating with every person that I run into. So we're always constantly in co-creation of our own realities. And when we understand that there's no separation between any of us, we can really see what the potential is, that we are worth everything. Because the source is just waiting to give it to us once we realize how powerful we really are.
And so any closing thoughts as far as we were talking about how we are the creators of everything that we're experiencing? How do we tie that into love and moving away from fear? And then we'll close out with that.
You know, one of the things I tell people is if we really understood how interconnected we are, we would never do anything to harm another being, to harm another person, to harm another animal, because we would inevitably be harming ourselves.
Mm-hmm. True.
And if we are truly standing from the space of love and we hold genuine love for ourselves, it is impossible for us to cause harm on another person because we know that that would hurt ourselves.
Absolutely.
And I think that we have the ability to, I think we're mature enough, finally, in our development as human beings to learn how to live from love rather than our systems have been using fear to control us, all of our systems, religion being one of them, using fear as a means of control because our systems didn't think we were mature enough to self-regulate. I think we're at a point on our planet, we're mature enough that now that we understand, and if we can understand what love really is, we're mature enough to self-regulate.
Absolutely.
So we don't need all of that fear to control us. And I think that's where we're heading, and that's where I think a lot of us who are in this ascension are trying to teach, that now let's treat each other with love.
Absolutely.
With and real love.
With real love. And that's everyone. And let's include the plants and the animals because spirit is within all. And so let's have a respect and a love for all of life. And that's a wonderful note to end on. So I want to thank you, Victoria, once again. It has been a wonderful hour shared with you. So be blessed, and we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
And so there you have it, another episode of Affirmations for Living, and it has just been a joy. I hope now you have a clearer understanding of what love is and how we can really empower ourselves by embracing love, a love for all. Until next time, take care and be safe.